journalist, gastronome, and writer. Cunqueiro is universally recognized as the precursor of magical realism. This tour provides you with a wonderful opportunity to immerse yourself in the mystical and cultural atmosphere that characterizes Mondoñedo.
This walk recreates Mondoñedo's past by following in the footsteps of the writer Álvaro Cunqueiro, a great fabulist that in the 50s began to create here a narrative that attempted to make dreams come true. The walk lasts 45 minutes. Once you are connected, do not interrupt the recording. You may only switch it off at the end. I recommend that you switch off your mobile phone or turn down the volume so that you don't get distracted. You will at all times receive instructions to find your way around. But if you do get lost, don't worry. As they say in Mondoñedo, here it is wisest to guess the way. Because being in Mondoñedo is like entering the privilege of fiction.
Hi, my name is Rula, and I'm going to guide you along this walk. I was born in Mondoñedo in 1981, on the same day that Álvaro Cunqueiro was buried at the old cemetery. That's why I never met him, but I have heard countless stories about his rambles all over the city. At home, they always said he was a very good-natured person, who was always out in the street, strolling, or in the taverns. They say he talked a lot and with everybody. He would stop you in the street, put his arm around your shoulder, and make up a story. He would make it up as he went along. He was also a generous man, and his money was never in his pocket for long, because he was always buying drinks for everyone. He had a deep voice, the type that is difficult to forget. Cunqueiro used to say that all the cities he mentioned in his works had something of Mondoñedo, that he could be talking about a Greek city where Ulysses landed, or a city in Great Britain where the subcanter arrived with the souls. All were this one. Cunqueiro devised a very special way of seeing and understanding Mondoñedo, and that is part of the idea that we have of our city today. Like Cunqueiro, I revel in silence and quiet, and I especially enjoy going for walks around this charming city. I am delighted at the idea of accompanying you, but I won't be doing it alone, for I have spoken to some neighbors and asked them to share with you some of the recollections and stories about the life of Cunqueiro, so that you can see that Mondoñedo lives on without him, or to show you that Mondoñedo is still here because we continue to see and hear it in the way Cunqueiro taught us to. Come along, let's begin. Exit the tourist office to your right and go to the stone balustrade overlooking the Cathedral Square. This, by the way, was the old city council building, and on 25th July 1931, from the balcony that faces the square, Cunqueiro gave a speech that said, "On the sloping curved square the group awaits. We set off early on our journey there, the murmuring bird song on the brevity of the journey. This brevity that insists on being the simplicity that leads us to this metaphysical curve in the square. So, this is a perfect place to begin. Have you reached the balustrade? If you look behind you, you will see the figure of the writer sitting on a stone bench. Can you see it? It is a work by the sculptor Juan Puchades, an artist from Valencia, who arrived in Mondoñedo in 1960 and became trapped by the fog.
My husband made this statue of Álvaro. Back then, my husband taught drawing here, and his studio was here, where there was once a stable. But he couldn't take large sculptures and through the doors, so he made it in the garage, practically without any light. Álvaro had a friend, Cuco Camarena. And when he came to see it, he said to my husband, "Álvaro had bigger ears." Then Pepe came along and said, "Álvaro this and that, and in the end it became this parade with the bloody sculpture.
It's also not a coincidence that it's here, because Cunqueiro used to come here in the evening to see how dusk fell on Silver Forest, to listen if the cuckoo had sung already, or to see the snowdrops bloom in winter, which is something that does not happen anywhere else in the world. If you look at the square now from the balustrade, it's that forest you can see back there to the right, beyond the rooftops of those houses.
The Silver Forest played a key role in his life, because from there the view extends from the cathedral to the forest. And the sculpture was also designed for people to touch it, to sit down next to it, to listen to it.
In Mondoñedo, everyone knows he used to come and sit here, and everyone knows about the special relationship between Cunqueiro and the forest.
The Silver Forest is a place that I closely associate with Cunqueiro, and everybody else also associates to Cunqueiro. Everyone has read the articles where he speaks of the Silver Forest. Everyone knows he used to go for a stroll with Obayarego to try to write the song of the blackbird from the Silver Forest on the stave.
Now turn left and keep walking to the end of the balustrade. From there, go down the ramp on the right. We are going to go round to the back of the cathedral. What Ángel says about wanting to identify the notes of the songs of the birds is one of the most extravagant adventures of Cunqueiro and his great friend Opallarego, barber, violinist, sponsor, and journalist for the daily Diario Progreso de Lugo. They didn't only try to do it with birds, but also with crickets and frogs, which sing in minor or major thirds, like the cuckoo. Remedios, Opallarego's daughter, laughed as she told me that she still has some of the stays with the notes they took during these outings.
They were both remedios. Cunqueiro pestered him and the other pestered him back. Well, he enticed him. We have to harmonize the song of the cuckoo and the blackbird. And they would keep talking about going there, until they eventually went and they picked up the tone.
I suppose that when you came across the cathedral wall, you then took the street to the left. Good. So keep going along it until you get to the seminary square. Mondoñedo is a city full of music where silence exists and lasts so that we can hear it bouncing off every wall or coming out of every crack in the walls. This street is dedicated to Pascual Vega, musician, composer, and choir director, who was born here and who as a child was a member of the cathedral choir, directed by José Pacheco, another local musician who was chapel master of the cathedral for 60 years during the 19th century. During the procession of Our Lady of Solitude on Good Friday, they still sing his prorans, which sounds like this. But let's go back to Pascual Vega. He was born in the last house along this street on the left. There is a plaque on the wall. When you get there, stop for a moment in front of it. They say that one day, when he was coming out of the cathedral, Master Pacheco had some children singing as they played in these streets. He was surprised by one of those unbroken tipple voices, which turned out to be that of Pascual Vega, and he invited him to join the choir, where he began his training. But he did not live in Mondoñedo for long. He left in 1864, never to return. Remedios told me it was because of a failed relationship, an impossible love. Let's stop in front of this last house for a moment.
Pascual Vega marchó de Mondoñedo también airado, eso sí que, porque, pero bueno, porque...
Pascual Vega was angry when he left Mondoñedo, because he was poor and in love with a girl called Astoria. and he was not allowed to court her because the jet set was the jet set. So he went away and never came back until he was brought to this mausoleum.
Por así decirlo, marchó de aquí y nunca más volvió hasta que otro echaron al panteón.
At the time, Eustorgia was known as French Girl because they say she dressed provocatively to display her rebelliousness. The story of Pascual and Eustorgia was that of an impossible love, but now she's buried in the family mausoleum in the old cemetery, only a few meters away from the funerary monument where Pascual Vega remains were transferred in 1912. Now let's keep walking. At the end of this street, on the right, you will see the large building of St. Catherine Seminary. We are going to turn right to walk across the square that's in front of it. When we get to the end, we will turn right on Rua da Fonte. Although Álvaro Cunqueiro did not study at the seminary, many of his close friends did, such as Aquilino Iglesia Alvariño, or they became teachers, like Francisco Fanego. They say that sometimes Cunqueiro listened to his Latin lessons from the street. While the market was in progress in the square, over the commotion made by the vendors, he heard the voice of the teacher through the open window of the seminary classroom. Concendere navivus aequor. Artisans and farmers fell silent. The teacher yelled out again, Concendere navivus aequor. Then his explanation was heard throughout the square. Virgil, embark, set sail, sail out to sea. Remedios also recalls another episode.
At the seminary, there were books that were forbidden, but there was a basket with a rope attached, and both, Álvaro and my father, would go at night, and when the basket was lowered, they would put one of the forbidden books inside, and the basket would go up and come down again, over and over.
This is also where Cunqueiro made his acceptance speech to the Royal Academy of the Galician Language in 1961, which he titled Certain Fantasies on Treasures, stories that he was very familiar with since his childhood.
Camilla used to say that when they were children, there were five, and I don't know if they had one maid or two. There was Totona, who I knew and who lived with them until her death. Sometimes to entertain them, Totona or the mother would tell them stories, and Totona would make up tales about treasures.
When you reach the end of the seminary square, turn right along that wall and keep going for another 50 meters among Rua da Fonte until you get to a crossing where the fountain of Fontabella stands. During the festivities of St. Luke, which are held in October, Mondoñedo is full of market vendors spread throughout the city grouped by guilds, determined to make their medieval imprint endure. My father told me that when he was a child, basket makers, potters and good workers with clocks and kitchen wares would set their stalls in front of the seminary. The blacksmiths from Rio Torto took up the area in front of Os Remedios. All types of farm products could be found in front of the cathedral. And here, at Fontebella, was the grass market to feed the horses that were brought to the fair. For Cunqueiro, however, the grass market was much more than that. A few days ago, as I strolled through here with José María, another full-blooded inhabitant of Mondoñedo, he said to me.
For decades, a market was set up on the eve of St. Luke at the Fontebella, with grass meant to feed the horses. That market left behind a scent that, according to Álvaro Cunqueiro, was so strong and wonderful that it could have been present in any of the world's flower markets. It's not like strolling with Juliet, but with her aroma.
No es como pasear con Julieta, pero sí como pasear con el aroma de Julieta.
When you are standing before the fountain of Fontebella, look at it carefully. It's one of the city's oldest fountains, dating from the 16th century. It used to have two large spouts and a drinking trough for livestock. And since 1968, it carries the writer's name. Now it sounds like this. Stand in front of the fountain and look slightly to your left. On the second house on Rua Álvaro Cunqueiro, which is the one that goes down to the mill quarter known as Os Moinhos, the house that has a continuous balcony on the second floor, that's where Álvaro Cunqueiro was born. There's a plaque by the door. You can go up to it if you want. Alicia told me that she heard from Carmen, Álvaro's sister, that as a child he already enjoyed writing.
One day someone was calling him, Álvaro, but he wouldn't answer because he was at the bottom of the stairs. When he was asked, why don't you answer? He replied, I can't because I'm busy. I'm writing a play. A play about what? Cowboys and Indians.
At the top of a neighboring house on this same street were the headquarters of the publisher Editorial Un. It's where the Oficina Lírica do Leste Galego projects were created. It was a space halfway between reality and fantasy that Cunqueiro described as follows. A compass, a green light, a piece of mirror, a communist propaganda wall poster written in Chinese, sent to Iglesia Albariño by a guy from his village who worked as a waiter in Shanghai, a painting by Cricot, and a stuffed Russian greyhound with a wire leg, and a quite enormous and marvelous skylight, a sketcher, an amazing boy, Bibi D'Arte, Iglesia Albariño, theologian, clockmaker by trade, which borders to the north all over the place, and myself. Close by there is another wonderful place that had plenty to do with the development of Cunqueiro's narrative skills and with that rich local universe of characters and stories. Now, facing the fountain, turn left and keep going a few meters along Rua da Fonte. On the ground floor of the fourth house on the left-hand side, at the corner with Rua Rigueira, there used to be the barber shop that belonged to Opallarego. He was one of Cunqueiro's best friends and fellow adventurer through the Silva Forest, in search of the notes that the blackbird and great teeth sang. When you have found the house, stop in front of it. There is a commemorative plaque next to the door. Opallarego's barber shop was a social gathering place for local people, writers and artists. Like I said, Opallarego was a barber, singer and violin player, as well as a sponsor to writers and young poets.
My father, Opallarego, was a choir boy in the cathedral since he was 8 years old. Then, when his voice broke, he took up the violin. When he opened the barbershop, the music was already there. Cunqueiro, who was younger than him, enjoyed spending time there. He was there practically all the time.
It was here, in the barber shop that was in the ground floor of this house, that Cunqueiro began to collect, combine and rework many of the stories he heard.
Cunqueiro got married and moved to Madrid. He came back in 1948, and since that year and until 1962, when I think he went to work at El Faro newspaper, I remember he went over there every single day at around 11:30. I even have pictures from winter. He would come over, and if Dad was cutting someone's hair, he would wait. I'll wait, he would say, and then they would stroll up and down the street. He would often be inside the barbershop, and he enjoyed getting the men to talk, and meanwhile Dad would cut their hair slowly so that his friend could listen to the story. Sometimes the client would get upset and say, "Get on with it, man, don't take so long." At the time, Alvaro, well, I used to call him Mr. Alvaro, had a typewriter at home. But there was another one on his brother's Pepe's pharmacy. So when he thought of something in the barbershop, they would quickly say, "Type this up for me."
Imagine Cunqueiro and Opallarego coming out of the barbershop with some crazy idea resulting from some debate on Greek mythology or on the mysterious case of Pedrón, the healer from Pontenova. They would run to Cunqueiro's father's pharmacy that was on the ground floor of the Bishop's Palace, the building that's on the corner in front of Fontevella, on the street to the left that leads to the cathedral. Go there and stop again before we continue.
They had a back office, nothing fancy, and a pharmacy that occupied the wool corner of the diocese.
At the pharmacy, Cunqueiro met many other figures who appeared in his book, Escola de Menciñeiros. His father used to take him to the hills, and he learned a lot with him.
Si nos fijamos un poco en los seus libros, en los seus artigos, atopamos una gran presencia.
From his books and articles, we find many descriptions of all sorts of plants. It is no coincidence, for he was the son of a chemist. As a child, he hiked through the woods and forests around Mondoñedo and learned plenty about botany.
Dunha persoa que sendo neno e rapaz percorreu con seu pai os bosques e as fragas dos arredores de Mondoñedo, o cal lle serviu para adquirir unha notable sabedoría botánica.
Continue along this street, which leads directly to the Cathedral Square. For the inhabitants of Mondoñedo, it was their playground.
When we were children, after our private tutoring classes, we would play football in the cathedral square. There were two teams. Those of us went to class with a lady called Maria Bernas, which happened to take place in the house where Cunqueiro was born, and those that went to class with José María Palacios' father. Afterwards, those of us who went to one class or the other would play football together.
Continue until you reach the cathedral's door. Can you see the rose window? Otero Pedrayo used to say it was like an underwater flower. In Mondoñedo, the bells have their own names. There were the cathedral bells called Paula and Petra, which women in labor asked to be rung when there were deliveries. And there were also the clock bells, Jerónima, which rang the hours, and Francisca, which rang the quarters. Until rather recently, the bells marked the rhythm of the city's life. We still have a sound with a name, the esquilón.
They rang the bell before the 8 o'clock mass to summon the cannons, and then it kept ringing for a while.
Now turn around and stand with your back to the cathedral. In front of you is the house where Cunqueiro lived with his brother Pepe and his sister Carmiña between 1944 and 1961. It's the fourth house, counting from right to left, the most humble of them all.
That's house where, for example, all the narrative in Galician was written. Merlin e Familia, As Crónicas, Seo Bello Simbad, Escola de Menciñeiros. Architecturally, there is nothing remarkable about it, but from a literary point of view, it is outstanding.
Cunqueiro's room was there, on the third floor. It faced back, and from there he could see the Silva forest and hear the song of the cuckoo, while on his double keyboard typewriter
He wrote stories that reinvented Mondoñedo.
He would be upstairs writing in his little room, facing the silver forest, and sometimes he would come down in his pyjamas and start sniffing around and ask, Caminha, did you give apples to the pork ones? He was always talking about food. There's the belief that Álvaro was a glutton, but he wasn't. He was a moderate eater and a gourmet. He enjoyed a good meal, but he wasn't a gorger.
Él apreciaba un buen plato, pero no era esa un lambón o un glotón que no era así.
I could spend hours in this square simply letting time go by as if I could touch it. But we must move on. Go towards the left corner of the square and climb the stairs. These stairs went here before because the square and the arcade were level and it was a nice place for a stroll.
Another place for higher class gentlemen was the canton area that used to be in front of the cathedral, but it has been completely removed. That's where the band used to play on Sunday morning, and it was where the elite would stroll back and forth. The men wearing starched shirts and collars, and the ladies parading in their Sunday best.
Leaving the square, we continue along Lence Santare Street, which goes up on the left. In the pharmacy on the right-hand side, there are still some ceramic pots from Cunqueiro's father's apothecary. This street is dedicated to a well-loved figure, a historian, ethnographer, and self-taught journalist who lived on the last house to the left, walk up to it and stop there for a moment.
Eduardo Lence Santar was Mondoñedo's first official journalist. He was an unusual character, with a long white beard. He had received no formal schooling, but he was inquisitive and very interested in Mondoñedo's past. He once asked Cunqueiro and a friend to measure the perimeter of the ancient medieval wall. He supposedly needed it to include in a chapter of the guide to the very dignified and loyal city of Mondoñedo. The guidebook may or may not have been written, but it was never published. The day after the stroll, however, Eduardo, who lived right around here, because the backs of the houses faced each other, said to them, I have written the chapter with the measurements. You have gone down in history.
Lence Santar's house is the one attached to the new building on the fresh produce market. Are you there yet? Okay, let's stop here and then we will continue up Rua Pacheco, which is the narrower one on the right. Ángel told me a story about the backs of the houses on the cathedral square, which could be seen from here before they built the new market.
A casa de miña abuela, donde viven miñas tías, por la parte de diante.
From those windows in the front of my grandmother's house, where my aunts lived, you could see the back of Cunqueiro's house before they built the market. When my aunts were doing their chores in those rooms, Cunqueiro would sometimes greet them through a window by waving a white handkerchief. I always imagined that he was perhaps writing the scene in Hamlet where Polonius bids his son farewell from the window of Elsinor Castle. I always like to link that image of Cunqueiro waving his handkerchief at my aunts with the Don Hamlet that he may have been written then. But of course, that's only an inherited memory, because it was my aunts who saw him, not me.
Siempre me gustó relacionar esa imagen de Cunqueiro con su pañuelo saludando a las niñas tías con la escena esa de Hamlet, que a lo mejor podía estar escribiendo en ese momento, en esa habitación, que era donde él escribía siempre. Eso, pero eso, claro, una memoria herdada, porque quienes vivían realmente eran mis tíos, no yo.
Now you can keep going. Remember, we have to take the street that goes up on the right. It is named after Master Pacheco, who I already told you about. We are going to stop in front of a building a little further up, just after the curve on the right. It's the one with the only door crowned by an arch. This is where the Catholic Workers' School used to be. where Cunqueiro studied as a child, along with the children of many artisans. That's why he used to say that the city was like his family, because even as a little boy, he always interacted with everybody.
Álvaro went to school at the Catholic Workers' Society, where the Jauf Center is today. He was very thin, and I know a couple of stories which I'm not going to tell you.
Cunqueiro's father was a chairman of the Catholic Workers' Society, and there was a school there for many years. He went there as a child, and when he was 10 or 11, he was sent to secondary school in Lugo.
This building also housed one of the Mondoñedo's two cinemas.
Here in Mondoñedo, we had two cinemas, the Pacheco and the Principal. We would go to the children's session, and Machin used to sing to us. We loved going there. I was given 10 pesetas, and I think the entrance cost 8. I spent one on an orange drink before going in, and there was always a boy asking for money to get in too.
Now follow this street up to the next crossing, where the convent of the Concepcionist nuns is, and then take the street to the right, which is Rua Concepción. These are narrow streets that in winter, when it rains and the bells ring, are full of echoes from a way of life in the city that is gone forever.
And the pig slaughtering. Back then, every house in Mondoñedo fattened pigs. Carmina also slaughtered her pig, and she always made sure Álvaro was around, because he participated in the slaughtering.
In those days, women's lives were not the same as men's. They had to observe life from a certain distance, like spectators of their own world.
I heard about it, but I never participated. It's a miracle. I haven't got a flat nose. I spent so much time pressing it against the window of the gallery, looking down at the street. But I also have to say that it was like a lesson, like an open book, the way people in the street behaved.
After passing the post office, we have no choice but to keep going right along Rua Concepción. On this stretch, Manolo Montero, before he became Merlin the Magician, the character in Merlin e Familia, had his bookstore, which has been turned into a museum. Cunqueiro called him his reliable bookseller.
Cunqueiro me en el libro de Merlin y Familia.
Cunqueiro used to visit me often. We were good friends.
Mondoñedo was a microcosm where all types of singular characters coexisted.
The city's memory is full of them. That guy, Panchito, who I told you wrote to Álvaro, was probably the most unique character of them all. Because when he went to play cards, he would take his hen along. He had his hen, they called Coco. Then there was the one known as Lamparillas, and there was Taka Taka. Lamparillas always wore medals. Once, during the crowning of Our Lady of Remedies, all the seats were set up and he looked a little shabby. All the authorities were attending, and the bishop, all the flamboyants of Galicia, and he went and sat in a chair before anyone else until two policemen went and took him away. He thought he was better than everyone because of all his medals. Nunha butaca daquelas para briñar apañoso de todo, viñendo os municipales a levantalo e ele arrastrando polo campo adiante. Ai, 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 ai. Porque sacaban dali porque ele se consideraba, con todas aquelas medallas, máis que naide.
The street you are walking along leads to the City Council Square. Before going any further, let's stop here, next to the steps at the entrance to the square. Can you see the street that goes down on the right towards the cathedral? That is Rua Progreso. There, along with the Café Madrid, where Panchito played cards accompanied by his hen, Coco, was the printing press Sucesores de Mancebo, a key place in Cunqueiro's journalistic activity in Mondoñedo.
If you read Cunqueiro's articles, you come across plenty of information that reveals great erudition. And there are even some who say that those articles were preceded by a profound creation process. Nonsense. The articles were written with a haste that a newspaper recorded. In the morning, Cunqueiro would say everything was ready, when in fact he hadn't even written a draft.
Now cross the square towards the city council, which is that stone building at the bottom, where the street becomes narrower. As you cross the square towards the court of the new church, Fernando, the present-day owner of the printing press, will tell you how Cunqueiro's journalistic activity was perfectly coupled with the rhythms of the press.
He used to come and write the articles for the paper La Voz de Galicia. He would get here at about 3 o'clock, and by 4 they had to be forwarded via the Ribadeo company bus. He would come in, ask for a piece of paper and an envelope, and after writing the article, he would take it to the Ribadeo bus company that would take it to A Coruña.
A visit to the printing press can sometimes turn into a history lesson, because part of the history of Mondoñedo is still preserved in the noise of the machines, which are still operating 100 years later.
When I started working at the press, there were no motors. Everything was done by hand or with pedals.
This sound is another of Mondoñedo's secret tunes. It sounds as if the history of the people were constantly being oiled. Have you reached the other side of the square yet? There's a junction here. The street that goes down is Rua Rey Alfonso VII, who founded the city out of love, and his last word just before dying was Mondoñedo. You are now in front of the parish church of Santiago, which everyone here calls New Church or Iglesia Nova.
He also used to walk around the atrium of the new church with his friends, going round and round. It was a typical custom of Mondoñedo that has been lost, by the way. It consisted of going around and around the atrium of the new church for a couple of hours.
Come on, let's revive the old custom for a day and go around the entire church once. Open the gate and follow the path trodden by countless other walkers along the right side of the facade. From here, at the back of the church, there's a beautiful view of the environs of Mondoñedo. It's as if you have suddenly left the city and are standing in a solitary lookout point. Some decades ago, we could have run into Cunqueiro walking around here with one of his many friends.
He spent a lot of time in the street, strolling with people, like with Opallarego, for example. He had a daily walking routine. He went to the taverns, he went to the casino, he talked a lot. He was not at all introverted. There's a photo of him with Bernardino Vidarte in front of the atrium, which is a place that reminds me a lot of Cunqueiro.
He enjoyed writing, spending time at home, coming downstairs for a break, then getting dressed and going to the post office. Then he would go for a walk with his friend Juanito. Juanito, who was a judge, was a very unusual man who liked to stroll. He was a very pleasant man and also close friends with Mancharin Cabaniela. They are both gone now, but they also walked around here a lot.
He used to walk around the streets a lot with Juan Mon. They both had loud voices that you could hear from a distance. You could hear them all over Mondoñedo.
If you have finished going all around the Iglesia Nova, close the gate when you leave the courtyard. Now go right along Rua Lodeiro Pinheiroa, and then keep going straight, always on the right-hand side, along Rua Julia Pardo Montenegro. I'm going to lead you to the old cemetery, which is about 200 meters away. For centuries, it was the city's only place of burial, and today it's like a garden devoted to the memory of our ancestors. Cunqueiro is buried in the old cemetery. As I mentioned earlier, I was born on the day of his burial, and I have heard people talk about him many times. It must have been amazing. The entire town and a major representation from the Galician government here, in the rain, in absolute silence.
I was 16 then, and I had already read many of Cunqueiro's works. I liked him very much, although I didn't know him personally, and I was impressed by his funeral. It was a gray, rainy afternoon, and the whole cathedral square was full of black umbrellas.
Afterwards, they carried his coffin all along the street you are on now. I have often played a joke on my friends who come to visit, telling them this is a fluted and mysterious city that requires a spell in order to leave it. Fluted because sometimes at night, the sound of the streams that cross the mill district of Os Muiños can be heard throughout the city. Can't you feel the water running below your feet? Cunqueiro's spell to get out of Mondoñedo was to write Merlín e Familia. He spent the last 20 years of his life in Vigo, but at the last moment, after a long disease and on his deathbed, he wanted to return to Mondoñedo to wander the autumn paths. He always said that here the eucalyptus trees have not managed to do away with the old deciduous forest. Cunqueiro died in Vigo. Before he could be taken to Mondoñedo, he didn't make it in time. Just like Rosalía was unable to see the sea one last time from her bedroom window in her house in Padrón. Rua Julia Pardo leads out of the city. After the last house on the left side of the street, you can see the lattice wall of the old cemetery. Keep walking until you reach a small door in the stone wall. When you have found it, go in, climb the stairs, and on the first landing, turn right. This is the civil area of the cemetery. The first mausoleum you see belongs to the doctor and poet Manuel Leiras Pulpeiro. Let's stop in front of it to hear what José María and Remedios told me about him.
Leiras Pulpeiro. Medico.
Leiras Pulpeiro, Republican doctor and poet, is buried at the Mondoñedo Civil Cemetery. But although he is in the civil part, on his tombstone there is, or there was at the time of his death, a religious element, for it is said that for days after his death, the people from the area who were grateful for the work of the meritorious doctor would come at night and climb over the wall to leave bags with soil from the cemetery of their parishes, so that the doctor they were so grateful to would not rest, let's say, in foreign soil.
E deixaban bolsas de terra dos camposantos das súas parroquias para que o médico o que tanta gratitude lle profesaban non estivese en terra, digamos, allí.
As you can see, the tongue of Leiras is practically the only one left. But here they also buried children who died before being baptized.
They knocked down the dividing wall because now the angels are there, the little ones. They knocked it down, but it used to be separate and there was a door. It's not there anymore, but next to him there used to be a couple, the Carreras, who were close friends. They say that when the Republic was established, Carreras went to Leiras' tomb and knocked on it, saying, Leiras, Leirinhas, the Republic is here.
De Carreras foi ali á tumba de Leiras e que lle golpeou e dixo Leiras, Leirinhas, veu a República, veu a República.
Let's take a little walk around the cemetery. Leave the Leiras mausoleum behind and keep walking along the grey street that goes left until it reaches a staircase. That's where the Catholic cemetery begins, where most of the mausoleums of the families of many of the figures we have talked about during our walk can be found. Pacheco, o Pallarego, Lence Santar, Pascual Veiga, with Eustorgia close by, and of course, it is also Cunqueiro's resting place. Go down the stairs. At the bottom, look right, and you will see another of the entrances of the cemetery. If you look to the left, you can see the main staircase. Go up. Slightly further up, you will leave the mausoleum that the Galician emigrants ordered to Pascual Veiga to your right. There, turn slightly to the left and then go straight, parallel to the wall of niches on your left. Cunqueiros is almost at the end, on the lower part, almost at ground level. Can you find it? Try to read the inscription on the stone. It is a call to hope. A few months before his death, he made a speech at a homage paid to him in Vigo, and moved. He explained how he would like to be remembered after his death. Let's hear him in his own voice. I wanted and want the Galician language to last and live on, because the continuity of a language is our only chance as a people. I wanted Galicia to live on, and alongside the native soil, the motherland, that is the land and its dead, there is that other motherland which is our language. Should there be a eulogy after my death, when the grass will grow because of me and our soil, my tombstone could say something like, here lies someone who with his work made Galicia live on for another 1,000 springs.
Aquí yaz alguén que coa súa obra fixo que Galicia durase 1,000 primaveras máis.
Since then, this phrase by Cunqueiro, which has been immortalized on his tombstone, is a desire repeated and shared by several generations. Language unites us to the land and makes us last in time by transmitting it as a common legacy to our children. In this way, it can continue to shape our dreams every spring. Our stroll ends here. Thank you for coming along, and I hope that now our city has also become yours.
Please remember that you must go back to the tourist office to return the MP3 device. It's very easy to find. Just go back to the place where we started, next to the Cathedral Square.
The voice narrating this audio guide belongs to Patricia De Lorenzo. The voices of the local people who have collaborated belong, in order of appearance, to Alicia Puchades, Ángel Redruello, Remedios Ledo, José María Palacios, Manolo Montero, and Fernando López. Editing and audio post-production by Jesús... Editing and audio post-production by Jacobe Martínez Antelo, and documentation and script by Jesús Rom. This audio guide would not have been possible without the collaboration of Claudia del Pino.